Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to MTS Center, where the New York Rangers have just defeated the Winnipeg Jets by a 4-2 margin. High above center ice from the MTS Center press box, welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined by Richard Pollock, my analyst, and Michael Remus, our producer. Richard, it started off well for the Jets. They had ample opportunity at the beginning of the game to take control. In fact, they had a 2-0 lead, but right at about the halfway mark of the second period, all things fell apart for the Winnipeg Jets tonight.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets weren't very good tonight, Drew. I don't think anybody in the building would say they deserved to win. They kind of were sleepwalking through the beginning of the game. They got a lucky goal there. Are we okay, or we need to go back?
Next, go ahead.
Okay. You know, Spencer Mihatrick gets them on the board, but they were sleepwalking. This game didn't matter. The crowd wasn't into it. The players weren't into it. The Rangers weren't into it until they got down 2-0. They realized they had to push, and they want to get first overall because nobody wants to play Philly in the first round. Philly is going to be the 5 seed, and that's as difficult a task as you're going to have trying to play Philly in the first round. So the Rangers pumped it up. Knew they had to win to hold off Pittsburgh, and when they started trying, basically from the middle of the second period on, once right around the 7-minute mark, once they started trying, it was over. The Jets had 2 chances to score. So, you know, all in all, the season was lost, you know, over the course of past month and a half or so. But tonight's game was a mail-in game, and you know, good thing people paid beforehand.
Jets opened the score. It was a scoreless first period, despite the Jets having 3. Power plays in the first period, including a 5-on-3 opportunity that they didn't capitalize on. It was almost a 2-minute long 5-on-3.
You know, Ted Wyman of the Winnipeg Sun tweeted that the Jets are 3-for-13 this year on the 5-on-3s, which is a poor percentage. More importantly, you know, I don't understand really why the setup was as it was. Again, we got into that before. And again, why is Brian Little out there? Why is Evander Kane not seeing the ice and all that stuff? Why is Blake Wheeler on the right side and on the left side and etc.? And you know what? If the game meant more, we can break that down further. But you don't score on a 5-on-3 for 2 minutes. You know, you have numerous power play opportunities, and you squander them. You know, you don't deserve to win, and the Jets certainly didn't deserve to win tonight.
Scoreless after the first period. Then you mentioned Spencer Mihatrick with his second of the year assist to Ben Maxwell and Mark Stewart. Mihatrick coming down the right wing. I thought it was an attempted pass.
Yeah, I did as well.
Tipped off of Michael Delzato's stick, and you know, no fault of Henrik Lundqvist.
Nope.
It just went through him. He was playing the pass as well. Jets take a 1-0 lead. That's at the 3:58 mark of the second period. Less than a minute later, at the 4:54 mark. So you know, 56 seconds later, Brian Little gets his 23rd on the year, assist to Blake Wheeler and Andrew Ladd, and the Jets have and the Jets are up 2-0.
A nice play by Blake Wheeler, you know, really nice pass, and Ladd puts it in the net. But
Little puts it in the net.
Little puts it in the net. But all of Blake Wheeler there, and again, you know, the guy who carries that line, I think we can clearly say is Blake Wheeler.
He's on the left board.
I tweeted the other day, I mean, how successful he seems to be from the left side, and I wonder if the U.S. will try him on the left side. And he played a ton on the left side, or streaking on the left side. He didn't actually play left wing, but streaking on the left side last game. So you wonder if the Jets will maybe make a suggestion to whoever the U.S. GM is for the World Championship team, that Wheeler try the left side. I realize that the Jets have Ladd and they have Kane on that side. But who knows what happens with trades and such, and maybe the player is more comfortable there, maybe he's not. But, I mean, for something like the World Championships, we might as well try. It doesn't hurt you as an organization.
Would you expect to see Blake Wheeler represent
100%,
the U.S.?
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
what about, say, Andrew Ladd or Evander Kane for Team Canada?
No, Wheeler, he has a chance at cracking the Olympic team. Kane, the same thing, because he'll have a chance of cracking the Olympic team, especially with his speed and his shooting ability. Andrew Ladd's not making the Olympic team. You know, he's had a long year. It's been a transition. He'll probably, you know, call it a season. You know, you might see a guy like Brian Little get over there and just get the experience, because he's really not an upper echelon kind of player.
Oh, well, you might get the thrill of it. I mean,
yeah, of course.
He's not going to represent country's colors.
It's not something like Andrew Ladd has done it many times. I don't think Little has done it to that extent, so maybe you'll see him go over there and get the experience exactly and play with those players. You will see some other guys too. I mean, I can't see the team endorsing Enstrom going over there after he looks like he's completely worn down.
Yeah.
I don't see Buff going there.
No.
I see Bogosian going over there. He should get that experience. I think that would be helpful for the team.
Yeah.
Markstrom might be over there for a character guy. So you can see a lot of the Jets playing in the World Championship. Burmistrov as well. But
that may not happen.
We'll see how that plays out. 2-0 for the Jets early in the second period. They have a golden opportunity to really put the game away. At this point, the Rangers were lifeless. They had played last night in Minnesota. They had no energy whatsoever. 2-0 Jets. They get another power play. Yeah. Another power play opportunity. And what happens? Michael Delzato, shorthanded goal for the Rangers, makes it 2-1 for the Rangers, as opposed to the Jets taking advantage of an opportunity to make it 3-0.
Yeah, I mean, you don't score on the power play, and then you give up a shorthanded one there. It, you know, reprehensible. And you can't let that happen, and you can't let that happen and expect to win. So
that's right. That was at the 7:44 mark of the second period. Michael Delzato from Ryan Callahan. 2-1 Winnipeg at that point. And then from that point on, it was all New York for the rest of the game.
That's right.
The Jets had nothing at all, no legs. It was a complete shifting of the momentum. 11 minutes later on the power play, see the Rangers taking advantage of their opportunity.
Yes.
Ryan Callahan, his 28th in the year, assist to Marian Gaborik and Michael Delzato again.
Callahan was tremendous tonight, all over the ice.
Blocking
he was blocking shots.
Yeah.
That's what a leader is supposed to be like, and that's what fans, that's why he's ingratiated himself so well in New York. He's such a New York type of player. He can score, he can hit, he can shoot, he can block shots, he can do anything you want him to do.
He was the most noticeable of the Rangers on the ice tonight.
He's great in the room, and he's a Don, you know, Don Cherry talks about it, and if he was a Canadian boy, Don Cherry'd have him on there 10 times a week. Like that's the type of player he's a great player.
Well,
and as you saw in 24/7, seems like a great guy as well. The Rangers are a good team, and you know, when you talk about the word team, they buy in. And we talk about the Jets, and the Jets, I don't think you say greater than some of their parts. I think the Jets are what they are, but I think that when you watch the New York play, and we were talking about it during the game, they block everything.
Yeah.
And blocking everything, there's a certain part of a player who does that, but there's also a certain team mentality. And
it's like I said to you in the game, it's like defense in basketball. You have to buy in to block
and
shots.
Defense in hockey too. And Drew, this is the thing. When you don't block shots, generally nobody notices. That's one of those things. You know, like
sure.
You don't walk around and say, the Jets didn't block a lot of shots there, though we'll say that once in a while on this show, but it's not commonplace, you know, in terms of...
You never notice how many shots get through often.
That's right.
It's not a glaring stat.
But when you watch them do it...
When you watch
see how noticeable it is, and then you think about how often it happens for the Jets.
I always remember the Rangers were great at blocking shots tonight. I always remember the Buffalo teams in the sort of the mid-2000s.
Yep.
That was
early
a team that's always early to mid-2000s were always able to block shots. They were tremendous at blocking shots. And when you notice a team that's very good at it, that jumps out at you. The Rangers were very good at it, especially you know, on the Jets 5-on-3 there. You know, they blocked at least probably four or five shots there.
Callahan, Dubinsky, Girardi. I mean, Girardi and Callahan, I'm assuming, are in the top three for forwards defensemen for blocking shots in the league this year. I don't think there's any question about that. I would hazard to guess that's that Callahan probably leads forwards, and because he also gets a lot of ice time. And Girardi almost always leads defensemen.
Two all Jets Rangers after 40 minutes. Third period at the 3:07 mark. Brian Boyle, his 9th of the year. Assist to Ruslan Fedotenko and Ryan McDonough. A brutal goal, like you said.
Yeah, you know, Pavlik's worn down. Tired.
We were both surprised that the Jets chose to start him tonight.
Was it his fault? Sure, but in the big scheme of things, he's played like 12 games in a row, right?
He's exhausted.
And it's third period, and they're not in it.
Well, I mean, it was tied. What happened here, Brian Boyle's behind
the net.
They're not in the playoffs, I know. Brian Boyle's behind the net, and inexplicably, Andre Pavlik doesn't keep his shoulder and the pad next to the goal.
It's concentration.
Next to the goal post. Yeah. He moves off. He gives Boyle some room to jam it in. It's an innocent-looking play. Yeah. Boyle jams it in successfully, 3-2. And, I mean, at that point in time, it was just winding down the clock at that point.
Then you have that first power play, you know, that comes in and gets that fourth goal. And that was the best power play all night for either team, actually. The Rangers moved the puck around beautifully. Their top unit, they had Delzato. They're kind of set up on the right side of the goaltender. They had Delzato at the top of the blue line. And the puck was basically moving through Richards on the half boards. And Richards and Gaborik and Callahan were in front. Stepan was on the side. The puck kept moving forward and cycling, moving around and cycling. And they got what they wanted. Stepan got the goal. And it was beautiful puck movement. You know, that's what you pay for when you, again, we talk about price of admission. Well, that kind of puck movement is elite puck movement. And that's what you like to see as a hockey fan. Not as a Jets fan, but as a hockey fan.
And that was the insurance marker at the 10:06 mark of the third period. Derek Stepan is 17th of the year, assist to Marian Gaborik.
I like him. I think he's a good player.
Yeah. He certainly knows his role on the Rangers. He fills it very well.
Yep.
Nothing wrong. He's, you know, responsible.
They're going to need, I will say this, if they're going to make a run, they're going to need him to be very good because they need that secondary scoring.
They don't have a ton of secondary scoring. No. They have the best goaltender in hockey.
Yep.
They have they're solid. the
aspects of the team.
Yeah.
They're a very good team. I mean, do they have Flusher? We're going to talk about that on the playoff preview when we do that. It can get next Saturday, not this Saturday, but the Saturday after.
Yeah.
But you like the way they play. They play hard for a hard coach.
Exactly. 4-2 final for the Rangers over the Jets tonight. Second last contest here at MTS Center for the Jets in their return to the NHL. Their next back in action April 7th to round out the season against the Tampa Bay Lightning. They go down to Miami, they go down to Tampa Bay, and they go down to the New York Islanders. Not a who's who of competition right there, let me tell you.
Those games will be...
Well, the Jets have 5 games to go. Only one is going to be against the playoff team. It could be some ugly hockey we're witnessing for the next...
And that playoff team is Florida, correct?
Correct. So it's some ugly hockey we're going to be witnessing for the next week to 10 days here. That's it for us on the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. Remember to tune in to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Saturday from noon to 3 on TSN 1290. For Richard Pollock and for Michael Remus, follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve.